Good morning. You know, one thing we all had in common as kids is the desire to grow up. Can't hear me? One thing we all had in common as kids was the desire to grow up, to be a big kid, to be an adult. How about some of you kids today? Are you anxious to be a big kid or to be an adult, to be a grown-up? Maybe you have older siblings, maybe you wanted to be a big kid like them. Maybe you imitated them. You imitated the way they dressed, the things they liked or disliked. Maybe like me, you wanted to be a big kid so you could ride on the big kid rides at the carnival. I was too short to ride on some of them. I wanted to be a big kid and ride on those fun rides. Maybe you had a chart at home, maybe you still do, to chart how high you are every year. You know, it'd be a problem if we didn't grow and if the marks on that chart weren't going up every year. It'd be even worse if we started to grow down instead of up. Our parents would have rushed us to the doctor, I think. Some diseases act this way. We call them degenerative diseases. One of them is ALS, which afflicted the famous physicist Stephen Hawking. He was in a wheelchair and used a machine to talk. It gradually took away his abilities. And a disease that many of us are more familiar with is dementia. Maybe you have friends or relatives who have dementia. Sabina's mom had this. It affects your brain, your cognition, it makes you forgetful, and you start to become more childlike in many ways. No one knows what causes dementia, and there's no cure at present. But we do know some of the things that contribute to dementia. And one of them, whether you know it or not, one of the things that contributes is poor hearing. Did you know that? Poor hearing can contribute to dementia. A number of studies have shown that if you have hearing loss, if you don't wear hearing aids, dementia progresses faster. If you wear hearing aids, it progresses more slowly. Not wearing hearing aids when you need them will speed up dementia. This morning, we're going to see that sluggish hearing leads to spiritual dementia. Sluggish hearing leads to spiritual dementia. Now, let's do a quick overview of the book. The theme of the book is that Christ is better. Jesus is better. He's preeminent. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses, and he's a better priest. That's the section we're in now. Jesus is a better priest. Let's look at a couple verses from last week. If we can. So the next slide is two verses from last week. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And having been perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him, being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. If you were here last week, you remember Charlie talked about Melchizedek as a priest and gave us the background that the Jews would have known about Melchizedek. Now, in verse 11, we go forward, and we see the cause of spiritual dementia. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's difficult to explain since you have become poor listeners. And I'm going to read the rest of the passage, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. So verse 11, what is the cause of spiritual dementia? It's being sluggish of hearing, poor listeners. He says, concerning which, he's talking about Jesus and Melchizedek, which he had just covered in the last section. Now, an aside, every translation I looked at had some deficiencies. Looking at the Greek, everyone blew it in one place or another. So I'm going to piece together a number of translations, and in this verse, I'm using New American Standard, but I'm taking some words from its footnotes, which are better than what's in the actual text. Concerning which, he's talking about this topic of Jesus and Melchizedek. And he says, we have much to say, and it's difficult to explain. Why is it hard to explain? He says, because they have become sluggish in hearing. Now, one thing we want to ask, is this talking to believers or unbelievers? And various commentators, various Bible scholars have different answers on that. I think overall, this book is addressed toward believers, but there's some unbelievers in the audience. So I think here it could be talking to both. I think he's primarily addressing believers, but there could be some unbelievers here who haven't come to Christ yet, who he's also addressing. And he's got the same instruction for both. They become sluggish in hearing. Some other ways that translations render that, you no longer try to understand. You've become too lazy to understand. You become sluggish in understanding or hard of hearing. You become too lazy to pay attention. Or from the message, you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. They've become sluggish in hearing. And the word sluggish is interesting. It's Greek is nothros. It's a combination of two Greek words. It means not pushing. To be sluggish is to not push. It was used of numbed limbs of an animal that was sick. A sick animal and it can't move fast. It was sluggish. In athletics, it could be used of a competitor who was out of shape or lazy or sluggish. It was used of a slave who has his ears stopped up by laziness and he wasn't obedient instantly to the call of his master. It has a wide range in meanings, this word sluggish. It can mean indolence, laziness, negligence, dullness, stupidity. And it denotes a culpable negligence or sluggishness in some aspect of life, something that you are culpable for. You are responsible for it. And it's sluggish in hearing. Hearing, we know in Scripture, in the New Testament, doesn't usually talk only about physical hearing. It implies receptivity and understanding. It implies obedience. Hebrews 2:1. We've seen earlier. For this reason, we pay much closer attention to what we have heard so we do not drift away from it. So we need to heed, we need to pay attention to what we've heard. And twice in Hebrews chapter 3, the author quoted Psalm 95. He said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. So hearing should be accompanied with not hardening your heart. There's a response to hearing. It needs to be received. Johnson says, the sluggish of hearing are individuals who have heard, but they have not responded to the things that they have heard. And we just saw Hebrews 5:9 from last week. Says, and having been perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And the word obey here comes from the root for hearing. There's a close relationship between hearing and obedience. Jesus said in Luke 8, the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he's not just talking about physical hearing. He's talking about heeding what he says. But there's something else interesting in the phrase here. It says, since you have become poor listeners, or you have become sluggish of hearing. That implies they weren't always this way. They weren't always sluggish. They started well. In fact, we see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through insults and distress, and partly by becoming companions with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better and lasting possession. And we see this, don't we? Hughes says, when people truly come to Christ, their initial posture is one of intense listening. Though only a boy, I was all ears after I met Christ. I listened as best I could and even took notes. God's word was alive. My experience was not unique. And I think we've seen that. A young believer is just like a sponge, drinking everything up, soaking it all in. Hughes goes on, he says, one of the curious byproducts of the awakening, he's talking about the Great Awakening, I forget when that was, but a big revival in English-speaking countries, in England and Ireland and even in the U.S., one of the curious byproducts was a sudden interest in shorthand. According to Weber, who wrote A History of the Awakening, men and women studied shorthand in order that they might take down the sermons that were stirring the English-speaking countries. This had happened once before in Scotland, and it made its appearance once more in all countries where the influence of the awakening was felt. It was not at all unusual to see men with a portable inkwell strapped around them and a quill pen over an ear, hastening to join the throng assembling on the village green. But as the newness of it all died down, so did the listening. Just as with the Hebrews centuries before, and with so many in the church today, to such people it is hard to explain the deep, needful doctrines of the faith. It also reminds us of two of the seeds in Jesus' parable of the seeds that were sown. He says, other seed fell on rocky soil. I'm reading from Luke 8. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and when it came up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And what does he mean by this? He explained it in Luke 8. Those on the rocky soil are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And yet, these do not have a firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked by worries, riches, and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. That often happens to people, too, is they initially hear the gospel, they hear the word of Christ, they're excited about it, and then they turn their back on it. They have become sluggish of hearing, and that is causing spiritual dementia. What does this mean for us? Johnson pointed out that sluggish can be used of a person who has the imperceptive and lethargic nature of a stone. And he says, evangelical churches are full of these Christian stones sitting in the congregation. They sit there Sunday after Sunday. They haven't grasped anything. They may be thinking about their business or thinking about the family problems. And when the service is over, they haven't really heard the word of God, but they've been there. He says, come on, let's look like you know that's true. You know that's true, don't you? Have you never sat there like a stone? I have, and I think we all have. We've all been there. Johnson says, I've sat there in a service, and when I finished, I might have been able to tell you what the text was that was used, but my mind was on something else. This is a seminary professor speaking. And so I was acting just like a stone in that service. That's dullness of hearing, or sluggishness of hearing. And if we're honest, that's true of each of us at some time or another. There's times when each of us are sluggish in our ears. It's dangerous. It leads to spiritual dementia. How do we avoid it? Well, one way is to take notes, like they did at the Great Awakening. And those of us on the preaching team, we get together and discuss each other's sermons, so we have to take notes. So it kind of forces us to pay attention. Another thing you can do, if you have a smartphone or a tablet, you can look up cross-references as we go through the scriptures. You can look up reference works, look up passages in other translations. It's very helpful, especially this section. Different translations will bring different things out. The Puritan preacher, Richard Baxter, in his book, The Directions for Profitably Hearing the Word Preached, he gives advice to all Christians. Make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you are hearing it. Cast not all upon the minister, as those who will go no further than they are carried as by force. You have to work. You have work to do as well as the preacher, and should all the time be as busy as he. Oh, and you should all the time be as busy as he. You must open your mouths and digest it, for another cannot digest it for you. Therefore, be all the while at work, and abhor an idle heart in hearing. So the first point this morning from this passage is the cause of spiritual dementia, sluggishness of hearing. Our second point is the symptoms of spiritual dementia. What are the symptoms of spiritual dementia? Well, the first one we just saw in the first verse, concerning which we have much to say, this is verse 11, and it is difficult to explain since you have become sluggish in hearing. The first result, or first consequence, or symptom of spiritual dementia is you can't receive teaching. You're not able to understand it, so it's no point for somebody to try to explain it to you. They aren't listening, so they won't understand. This is one of the problems the Hebrews have, one of the symptoms of their spiritual dementia. The second point, the second symptom of spiritual dementia is spiritual regression. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Did you catch that? You have need for someone to teach you again. They had been taught it. They had understood it, but they had lost it. They had to be taught it again. And he says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. So there should be a progression for all of us. Whether we have the gift of teaching or not, we should be able to teach our children, teach friends. We all ought to be teachers at some point as we grow. And these guys should have been teachers by this time, but they weren't able to. I came across a story shared by Ray Stedman. He says, I recently read of a principal in a high school who had an administrative post to fill. He promoted one of his teachers with 10 years of teaching experience to the job. When the announcement was made, another teacher in the school came to him terribly upset. She said, why did you put that teacher in this position? He has only had 10 years of experience, and I've had 25 years. Yet you passed me over in favor of him. The principal said, he was very blunt, this principal said, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You haven't had 25 years of experience. You've had 1 year of experience 25 times. So just time does not guarantee the ability to teach. These guys should have been able to teach by now, but they weren't. They had to be retaught themselves. They had regressed. And he says somebody needs to teach you the elementary principles. That's a phrase that was used of the basics, the ABCs. You need to relearn your ABCs. The basic principles, elementary principles of the actual words of God. A better translation would probably be the oracles of God. That phrase is used elsewhere in Scripture. Romans 3 What advantage does the Jew have? Or what's the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First, that they were entrusted with the actual words of God or the oracles of God. So it's probably referring here to what they had learned in Judaism. You need to be retaught even your Jewish roots. You've lost that. And sometimes people say, use it or lose it. And that's what has happened here. They've lost it because they didn't use it. An important spiritual principle is at work here. Truth that's not taken in and internalized and maintained will be lost. Jesus said, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. If you don't use it, you lose it. And these guys were in that condition. They had regressed. They had regressed because of their reluctance to hear and obey. And the author goes on and gives us a second image of spiritual regression. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, verse 12 again, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Net Bible translates that you have gone back to needing milk and not solid food. It's a regression, going backwards. The literal Greek is, you have become having need of milk, which is really hard to understand, but you have become having need of milk, not solid food. They used to be able to eat solid food. Now they can't. They have to go and eat milk again. They had begun to eat solid food early on, but now they're back drinking the bottle. And I thought about bringing a bottle up here to show you what it would look like to have a bottle. But the picture, you can get it in your mind, the picture is a return to infancy, going back to the bottle. What is it about a baby with a bottle? They're dependent on others for feeding. They can't feed themselves. Are we like this? Are we able to feed ourselves on the Word of God? Can we dig into the Scripture on our own? Or do we need to be spoon-fed by a preacher? Do we need to drink the milk and have the baby food? Do we survive by someone else feeding us on Sunday morning, or do we feed ourselves during the week? Hughes says, the truth is there is simply no such thing as a static Christian. We either move forward or we fall back. We're either climbing or failing. We're either winning or losing. Static status quo Christianity is a delusion. And I think he's right, and that's what the passage is saying. If we aren't hearing and obeying and moving forward, we're regressing. We're going backwards. What about us? Are we progressing in hearing and obeying the Lord? Or are we sluggish of hearing, regressing toward infancy? Have a case of spiritual dementia. So the first consequence of spiritual, or the first symptom of spiritual dementia, is inability to receive spiritual truth. Second one is spiritual regression. And the third one is lack of discernment. We see that in the next two verses. Verse 13 and 14. And I'm going to read these from the NET version, which is a little better on its translation. For everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced in the message of righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, whose perceptions are trained by practice to discern both good and evil. He's making a contrast here. There's the infant who is inexperienced in the message of righteousness, and there is the mature, the grown-up, whose perceptions are trained by practice to discern both good and evil. So the milk drinker is not able to distinguish good and evil. He's not experienced in the message of righteousness. The meat eater, the adult, is able to distinguish good and evil, and he's experienced in this message of righteousness. The bottom line is sluggish hearing destroys our discernment. That's the third symptom of spiritual dementia. We lose discernment. And this is very dangerous. There's a lot of cults out there today, a lot of false teaching, a lot of people trying to meld Christianity in with whatever they've got, whether it's a political movement or a philosophy or something else, and trying to make it sound Christian. We have to be really careful, and if we are sluggish of hearing, we're not going to be able to discern the truth from the false. I knew a fellow years ago named Paul, and some of you may know who I'm talking about. He was from a Sikh background, Indian Sikh, you know, with the turbans. He had no knowledge of the Bible or Christianity. He grew up in a household that was Sikh. One day he came across, I don't know if it was a New Testament or a Bible, and he read it and he got saved. And he realized he needed to go to a church and fellowship with others. He went to some church, and I don't remember what it was. It was either Jehovah's Witness or Mormon. He went to a church, and he was there a few weeks, and he said, "This doesn't match my Bible." So he left. He went to another one, and he went through two or three of these cults before he finally ended up at Fairhaven Bible Chapel, where I met him. And just because he was in the Word and he was soaking it up, he was not being sluggish of hearing. He was able to discern these cults and able to distinguish the truth from the falsehood. If we're not in the Word like that, and if we're stuffing up our ears, we're in great danger of falling into falsehood, into error. So we've seen the cause of spiritual dementia, and we've seen some symptoms of spiritual dementia. So what is the treatment for spiritual dementia? Well, the best thing is, don't get into it at all. Don't be sluggish in the first place in your hearing, and don't get dementia. And the writer will touch on this next week. We'll cover a couple verses, but I'm going to read them now. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. "We desire that each one of you demonstrate the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish." But his hope, in chapter 5, he's telling them they're sluggish of hearing. But his hope is that they not be sluggish. That's the best answer. Don't be sluggish and don't fall into this problem. But what if we have become sluggish? He goes on to tell them, these folks he's accused of being sluggish of hearing, what should they do now? What if we have contracted spiritual dementia? Chapter 6, verse 1, and I'm reading from the NIV here. "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." So he says, let us. He's including himself with them. Let us move on beyond. There's nothing wrong with these elementary teachings, but they need to move beyond them. And the elementary teachings are about the Christ, about the Messiah. That could apply to basic Christian teaching, but it could also apply to the Old Testament teaching about the Messiah. And he says, let us move beyond and be taken forward, be carried on. And this is the reason I'm using the NIV. Most other translations miss this. In the Greek, it's a passive. It's not push on that many translations have. It's be carried on. God is the one who carries us on toward maturity. We don't do it ourselves. What we do, though, is to move beyond the basic teaching, and then he carries us on. Carry us on to maturity or to completeness. He might be referring here to the whole New Testament message, which completes the Old Testament. The Old Testament is true, but it's not complete. So after this The grammar gets a little difficult, and different translations do it differently. The way I see it is he's talking about two foundations. There's a foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, or repentance from good works, and a foundation of faith in God. And note here, it's interesting, it's faith in God. It's not faith in Jesus. It's faith in God. These are things, repentance from dead works and faith in God, these are things that the Jews would have agreed with as well as Christians. And then, so there's a foundation, there's two things, and then there's teachings. I see four things in the teachings. The teachings are cleansing rites or washings. Your translation, some of them might say baptisms. But note, it's a plural. And it's not the normal word for baptism. He's not talking about Christian baptism here. Christian baptism, there's only one. There's one baptism. This is baptisms or washings. And I think he's really talking about cleansing rites. And he'll mention that again in chapter 9, verse 10, the same word, washings, as part of the ceremonies that are done in the tabernacle in the temple. Ceremonial washings. So they're to move on from teachings about ceremonial washings, teachings about laying on of hands, and I think here he means laying hands on the animals that they were sacrificing in the Old Testament. Move on from the resurrection of the dead and from eternal judgment. Those are basic teachings that the Jews believed as well as the Christians. They're all true, but we can't just stop there. We have to move on beyond that. So I think what the author has here in mind is primarily Judaism. It's the Jewish it's the Jewish background of these people. And he's essentially saying what he's been saying repeatedly in this book. You got to move beyond Judaism. You got to get beyond that. These Hebrews were having a hard time moving beyond Judaism. They weren't fully convinced that Jesus was better. And he says in verse 3, this we will do, God permitting. God permitting, we will do so. What is it that we will do? I think he means that we will move beyond these elementary teachings and allow Christ to carry us on forward to maturity. And we'll do that if God permits. These Hebrews had a hard time moving beyond their Judaism that they knew. They needed to be convinced that Jesus was better. They weren't fully convinced yet. Some were saved, but they were unsure about how much better Jesus was. Some were not saved. They were exploring this new teaching, and they weren't sure yet that Jesus was better. What about us? We don't have Jewish background, but do we have a background that we're having trouble moving beyond? Some sort of a church background, philosophical background, that we're having difficulty moving past and embracing Christ as better than it? Or are we stuck on some basics of Christianity? We need to move beyond and move further. There's many religions, philosophies, lifestyles out there. Jesus is better than all of them. What is holding you back this morning from embracing Jesus as better? And one way to help move beyond this is come here to church on Sunday. Join one of the small groups. Take some of the classes here, SBC, BCT. Study some of the books we've got back on the book table. This morning we're looking at... So, this morning we're looking at spiritual dementia. The cause is sluggish hearing. One thing I should mention before, though, I want to touch on one part of verse 3. Verse 3, God permitting, we will do so. God permitting us to move beyond the elementary teachings and be carried forward to maturity. It says God permitting, or if God permits. That raises a question. Is it possible that God won't permit us to move beyond this condition of spiritual dementia? Is it possible that we're stuck there? And we will see the answer to that next week. This is your cliffhanger. You have to come back and hear Ben next week. He'll give you the answer. So the cause of spiritual dementia, sluggish in hearing. The symptoms of spiritual dementia, unable to receive spiritual truth. Spiritual regression, going back to infancy, having to be fed, spoon-fed, not being able to feed yourself, and lack of discernment. This is what happens when we get spiritual dementia. The treatment is to move beyond the basics, move on to the teachings of Christ, be carried forward to maturity, move beyond your old background, dig into the scriptures. As verse 3 says, this we will do if God permits. Let's pray. I know I'm a bit early, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage this morning. We thank you for your word and these warnings about how we can regress if we aren't listening to you, if we aren't obeying. If we're sluggish of hearing, we can fall back into an earlier state. We pray, Lord, that you would be helping us all not to be sluggish of hearing and helping us to move on to something better. In your name.